This is New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Ryan, so please you can join us for the show here on News Radio 96.7, News Radio 610, WKXL, and WASR. U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen is a part of a group of bipartisan senators who have pushed forward a COVID-19 relief package. They started talking about a framework a little over a week ago and now have pushed forward the legislation, doing so in a press conference yesterday. Shaheen, a part of a gang of eight. It also includes U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan and Utah Senator and former Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Senator Shaheen, how are you?
Well, I'm good. And actually, we started as eight. In the press conference, there were 14 of us from the House and the Senate, both Democrats and Republicans.
Excellent. And it's great to see governance perhaps happening from the center and perhaps that taking place moving forward in addition to what we're seeing with this COVID-19 package. Let's start there. And the news, obviously, it was very mixed on Monday with the great news regarding the vaccination, but also terrible news in regards to the death rate climbing as we're now seeing one American die every minute as we topped 300,000 deaths yesterday. This relief is needed, and some may say it's long overdue. What are your thoughts on what is in the stimulus and the next steps?
Well, it is long overdue, and it's really more emergency relief than it is stimulus. It includes additional unemployment benefits at $300 a week for 16 weeks beginning January 1st. It includes additional funding to help small businesses, including some special ability for restaurants and the hospitality industry to take to use those small business dollars, the Paycheck Protection Program, to address their particular needs. It includes help for venues that have really been hit very hard by the pandemic, and it includes funding for the smallest businesses. Then it includes funding for transportation for our airlines, airports, buses, transit, and Amtrak. Funding for vaccine development and distribution, which is, we're seeing this now, it's really important, but we got to make sure states have all the money they need to get it out. Funding for testing and tracing. Funding for healthcare providers for our hospitals that are facing financial difficulties. For education, $82 billion for schools and higher education. Funding for student loans, for housing assistance. We know that homelessness has been very... so many people in New Hampshire now are facing homelessness and food insecurities. There's $26 billion to help with food assistance and agricultural producers so we can make sure that we get the food for people who need it, help for the post office, for child care, for broadband, and then for the opioid and mental health challenges that we know are increasing with the pandemic.
What are the logistics of this? There was discussion that's going to be broken into two parts, a $748 billion proposal that would take care of the items that you're mentioning, and then a second part, which would be $160 billion, that'll focus on the Democratic priority of state and local aid and also lawsuit protections that the GOP wanted. And also there's the funding deadline, which is coming up on Friday. Is this all going to be a part of that and the omnibus bill and that spending package, is it in two different pieces?
Well, it's not yet clear, Chris. We did our bills in two different pieces. So one, all of the things that we could agree on, all of that list that I just read off. There is disagreement. We could not get to consensus on the funding for state and local and tribal governments. I do support that. I know we've got communities in New Hampshire that are very hard hit. The state is still facing revenue shortfalls and needs additional assistance. And the liability provisions, which, again, we couldn't get consensus agreement on, so we did those separately. We're handing all of this over to leadership in the House and the Senate, and we hope they will bring it back to us, allow us to vote on it. They may attach it to the government funding bill, the omnibus, and let us vote on all of it at once. But the important thing is we've got to provide some relief to people who are hurting right now, especially at this holiday season.
What is the chances of there being a $1,200 stimulus check included as well? It's interesting. This is something that Bernie Sanders is lobbying hard for and has talked about the fact that it shouldn't even move forward without this. And also, the White House has said to be interested in this as well, but there does not seem to be consensus in the Senate in order to include this. Is there any chance the $1,200 stimulus checks are included?
I don't know the answer to that, Chris. That could happen this week. I think we looked at the funding levels that we could get agreement on and felt like it was important to get unemployment benefits for those people who are losing their unemployment, that was a priority, and we should make sure that funding for that was in this legislation. And again, this is an emergency package, so we hope that this will get people through the next 3 to 4 months. Some of the provisions go to the end of March, some go to the end of April, and that it will provide that emergency relief that small businesses, that our hospitals, our healthcare providers need to get us through these next few months until we can get the vaccine widely distributed, until the weather gets better, until the new administration comes in, and we can continue to negotiate around a stimulus package.
Two more questions briefly. We learned a lot about the types of businesses that received small business loans, and some obviously drew some eyebrows being raised. What is the definition going to be for small businesses and repayment mechanisms?
Well, the definition in the past has been what the Small Business Administration considers a small business, which was businesses with 500 or fewer employees. Now, in this case, we have reduced the number of employees under most of the small business provisions to be 300 or fewer, because we're trying to target that assistance to some of the smallest businesses who were not able to get help under the Paycheck Protection Program in the first round. It also does expand eligibility to 501c6s, some of those organizations like Chambers of Commerce, those nonprofits that help that didn't get funding in the first round, as well as venues, so theaters and in New Hampshire, some of our venues that are connected to our tourism industry that have really gotten hit very hard and were not able to get a lot of help under the Paycheck Protection Program. So there's an effort to try and make sure they're all wrapped into this proposal.
And in conclusion, you mentioned that this is not as much a stimulus as it is a stopgap in providing some relief to needed individuals. What is your understanding about a stimulus coming after this? And I have thought that this is the most one of the most important pieces in really developing a 21st century economy, is to bring the brightest minds together and figure out what is that path, what is the post-COVID economy going to look like. What do you see that undertaking encompassing, and do you feel this is going to be basically the centerpiece of the start of the Biden administration, this post-COVID-19 economic package?
Well, the administration and President-elect Biden has talked about what he wants to do in the first 100 days, and his immediate focus is going to be on dealing with this pandemic and getting ahead of it, which we need to do if we're going to get to the economy and get our lives back to normal. So I think that's job number one. I hope there will also be infrastructure package introduced that includes not just roads and bridges and water systems and sewer systems, but also includes broadband. We put broadband funding into this emergency relief proposal because we've seen the challenges that schools and so many are facing as they're trying to do remote learning. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we need to connect broadband to every household in America. And I hope that will be part of a new infrastructure package.
So you think the infrastructure package will be separate from the next COVID package?
I'm telling you what I would do, Chris.
Okay.
I haven't heard, and we haven't heard from the administration what their plans are.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the infrastructure should be separate from that. I think it's a much needed part of it. It also will obviously create the type of economic stimulus and planning necessary for a post-COVID economy. Appreciate your time, and we shall chat again soon.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chris.
All right. That is U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen joining us here on New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show here on News Radio 96.7 as well as 610 on the Seacoast and in the Queen City, and up in Concord on WKXL 1039 and 1450 Lakes Region, WASR 1420 and 97.1. We shall return on New Hampshire Today after this.